Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Philosophy Show tonight. It's Wednesday night, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's Thursday morning, July the 14th. How are you doing tonight? My name is Thomas, the host of the Philosophy Show. And tonight's episode, I have titled it Soap Opera of Life, Black Lives Matter 2 versus Black Lives Matter More, The Tea Party, and If You Care About Gun Rights. This is episode number 146. It's a half an hour show. It's a call-in show once a week, 12:30 a.m., Wednesday night, Thursday morning. The guest call-in number, if you'd like to call in, is area code 646-929-1344. That's area code 646-929-1344. So throughout the week, if you've been paying any attention to the news, you've heard what's been going on. You know, there's been shootings of citizens by police officers, and also in Dallas, some police officers that were shot. And, you know, so there has been some violence in the news about, I guess you could say, regarding the justice system. And you've heard the analysis from the right-wing media, and you've heard the analysis from the left-wing media. And so I'm just going to try to give a objective view of this whole thing, and the best I can here, using philosophy and those principles of reason, logic, objectivism, etc. So one thing first is definitions. Let's get the definition of BLM, Black Lives Matter. Because what the right wing says is that they're the new KKK, they're racist, and et cetera. They're saying what right wingers are saying is, so-called right wingers are saying that, you know, the Black Lives Matter, they're claiming that Black Lives Matter means Black Lives Matter more than white lives and red, yellow, tan lives, etc., blue, green, whatever. And but that's not true. I mean, sure, there might be some that are so filled with hate that that's what they believe. But, I mean, there's that in every, there's a small statistic of that everywhere. It actually means Black Lives Matter too. And some people don't think those things matter, but as a matter of philosophy, I mean, if you don't have the definition, then you don't have anything. I mean, there's no point of even having a conversation if you're not talking about the same thing. And even on the Black Lives Matter website, they say there it means Black Lives Matter too. In there, they have, I'm on Black Lives Matter .com right now, and they have a little article there that says 11 major misconceptions about the Black Lives Matter movement, and they have they have 11 of them, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but on point 8, the misconception is that the movement hates white people, that the statement Black Lives Matter is not anti-white proposition, contained within the statement is an unspoken but implied to, T-O-O, as in Black Lives Matter to, and you know, and there's other misconceptions. And so, I mean, I think that's kind of common sense and obvious, and I think people should know that, but a lot of people don't know that, and they just take what someone says who might be espousing divides, you know, just wedging different groups apart. And so it obviously means it matters too. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that you can't see, you know, someone getting shot or something. And not saying that not everyone deserves it, and maybe, you know, the media does hype it up, but it needs to be seen. We need to see what's going on with our taxpayer dollars. Just like when we have wars, I think we need to have the video cameras show everything. We need to see what we're paying for. And if we don't, then people shove it under the couch and never talk about it or forget about it. And no one wants to be one of those statistics. I mean, if some misjustice happened to you, whether you're a police officer or a citizen or anyone, you would hope that the media pays attention to it and that people care and that there's light brought to it, that it's not in the dark. And it's kind of a misconception to judge a whole group like that. I mean, because people on, it's kind of the same thing that reminds me of these three-syllable movements or these three, you know, acronym type, like Occupy Wall Street and the Tea Party. And so, I mean, people claim that Tea Partiers, they're just a bunch of racists as well from the left. And you know what? There might be some fringe elements of that. And people will claim the Occupy Wall Street are a bunch of communists and stuff. There might be one or two that are. But that's, and when you take these three groups, the Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, the Tea Party, they're all about reform. They should all be working together. You know, so I was watching Alex Jones the other day, and I think they break a lot of news and stuff like that, but kind of disappointed in the way that they're framing all of this. It seems like they're the ones wedging it apart, where if they don't like or if they're concerned that Black Lives Matter means Black Lives Matter more instead of Black Lives Matter too, then they should interview some, they should bring on the people onto their show and have a dialogue without yelling them and turning all red in the face and actually have a dialogue. I mean, Alex Jones should invite the founders and other, but yeah, he says they work for George Soros, and I have no idea if that's true or not. I mean, but I think regardless of whether there's a few people at the top of it that might or might not, I don't even know. I'll just give them the benefit of the doubt of that. But most of the people, I mean, some people claim Alex Jones works for, you know, whatever. I mean, but I don't think most of the people that work under him do, or most of his listeners do. I mean, so there's this separation. It's just kind of like, you know, people in the Middle East probably think the leaders of the U.S. are war criminals. That doesn't mean the whole population of the U.S. is. I mean, it's just, so, yeah, okay, let's just, there's probably one or two people in all movements that are crooked, you know, but doesn't mean that the whole movement or the base of the population of people who are concerned about their concerns aren't legitimate. And so if you really do care that all lives matter, then you should bring on the Black Lives Matter, the Occupy Wall Street, try to find some common ground, have a real debates like they used to have in the 60s, like, you know, what was that guy from, you know, there used to be actually like real debates on television and stuff like that, like Milton Friedman and Noam Chomsky, and people would talk for, have hour shows and, you know, and be civil and take turns speaking and not interrupt each other and not yell and et cetera. I mean, that's what a real debate's supposed to be about, and not get all hot-headed. I mean, we should all unite, and, you know, there is a problem, and some people are claiming that the Black Lives Matter are a terrorist organization. Some people claim that the Tea Party is, which I don't believe it is. I think they have, and you know what? The Tea Party came about after 2008, when we bailed out Wall Street. That is what caused the Tea Party, and, you know, taxation bailouts without representation, because most people were against the trillions of dollars that went to the big banks that were too big to fail, that should have failed, they were bailed out, and most people lost their homes. And they weren't bailed out, but the banks were. And they had legitimate gripe, and they were trying to reform Washington. And then they were taken over by right-wing extremists, Ted Cruz's and people like that. And then Occupy Wall Street is just a continuation of that, really. I mean, except that it's more younger people and people not getting a job. You know, most young people have an unemployment rate of like 30%. Black people in the U.S. have an unemployment rate of, young black people have an unemployment rate of 50%. I mean, you know, can you blame them for being upset? You know, while banks that should have failed, that did fail. I mean, in a game, if you fail, then the other team wins. But not in real life. If you're connected, if you fail, you get bailed out with taxpayers' money, while the taxpayers themselves are experiencing these high percentages of unemployment, etc. It's a rigged game. You know, you can call it a rigged economy. It's a game. It's a rigged game. You think about it as a game. I mean, you know, we care so much about Tom Brady having deflated footballs, and that could go to the Supreme Court, while, you know, there's people rigging the game for trillions of dollars, and they just get bonuses. And so, I mean, it's absolutely backwards. And I mean, no one... What we all want is a fair game. That's what Black Lives Matter wants. They want a fair game. They don't want to be treated any specialer. They want to be treated the same. They want a fair game. Just like football, you want a fair game. Why even are you even going to go onto the football field if the other team starts out with 14 points ahead before the game, the whistle even is blown or the coin is tossed? No, of course not. And if you know the referee is like, you know, in the payroll or whatever of the other team, I mean, why even do it? I mean, it's a rigged game. What they're asking for is not any special favors. What they're asking for is, if we get pulled over, let's be treated the same. Let's not get pulled over unless there's due just cause. You know, someone like Alex Jones is supposed to be a civil libertarian, and I'm not trying to get hard on him. I'm just trying to give a legitimate criticism, so hopefully he takes it as constructive criticism. You know, and I've seen him say some magnificent speeches on civil liberties. There's this YouTube clip where he spoke in his local city council against the Patriot Act at a time where it was very unpopular and to do so, and it was just a magnificent top-of-the-head speech. I mean, that was great, and he was in a city council and convinced his city of Austin to make Austin a Patriot Act-free zone while the rest of the country still is under most of the Patriot Act. I mean, a very brilliant moment there. So, I mean, there's some things I really do admire about him, and he has great potential in a lot of ways. He could be a great unifier. I mean, among others. I mean, that's not the only person, obviously, that I listen to. I mean, and you can check out my YouTube channel, by the way, at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. But let's get back to this. You know, I also like Secular Talk, the Young Turks. I listen to them all, and you can find out my favorite, see all my favorite channels. I have like 50 of them there. But anyways, you know, Black Lives Matter movement is something that came naturally. It was a grassroots thing, and they didn't have a name on it. And Hillary Clinton says, you know, well, give me a list of demands. You can't just protest without having a list. Well, people have called them a terrorist organization. They do have a list of demands. If you visit joincampaignzero.org, you'll see their list of, they have 10 things, and you tell me if this sounds legitimate or not. It's called joincampaignzero.org. Join campaign zero, spelled out zero.org. And here's their 10 list of demands. And this is as American as a Bill of Rights, which, by the way, that's what I was going to say before. If Alex Jones is so into the Bill of Rights, he should have been against the stop and frisk in New York. He should have spoke about it every day. I mean, you know, and that's number one. End the broken windows policing. And broken windows policing means where they go after you with a bunch of little technicalities, thinking that's going to reduce big crime overall. And if you look at the statistics on how many people, black people, are arrested for things that they were never charged for, and so people say, oh, well, they're arrested more as they commit more crimes. Well, if you actually look in New York with this broken windows policing, the stats will make it a lot worse if, you know, if almost every single black person in New York was arrested, I mean, at one point, or pulled over and stopped and frisked. You know, that gets rid of the Fourth Amendment. You know, you have the right to be secure in your person, places, or things, to know what you're being accused of, you know, to know who's accusing you, to have to have evidence against you, and to confront your witnesses and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's, yeah, we should end broken windows policing, because if we let it happen to black people, that's going to happen to everyone. Number two, they want community oversight. I mean, you think internal affairs is good enough? Internal affairs. I mean, geez, that sounds like, you know, a porn movie or something. But, I mean, you need independent affairs, something that is a third party that has nothing to do. That'd be like, you know, the police union investigating the own officers. Get real. And then three, limit the use of force. Have some training. Have a protocol where, you know, shooting is the last option. That was number three. Number four, independently investigate and prosecute. And that probably goes into the whole justice system, not just cops. They need to get rid of quotas. Prosecutors don't need quotas. I mean, there's got to be, you know, our whole government of the United States, which I'm proud of, is built on checks and balances. You can't have, you know, the watchers watching the watchmen be all the same group. And number five, community representation. Just like in a jury, you're supposed to be judged by a jury of your peers. Makes sense to have the law enforcers be your peers as well, and allow people that have high IQs to be, you know, hired, because they actually have some policies in certain departments where they will refuse to hire people with a higher IQ because they don't want them questioning their superiors. And we know quotas are a bad thing, and we know cops have quotas. I mean, that cops should, their union should be against quotas. Everyone should be against quotas. For that, you know, body cams, film the police. And I agree with that. And I think every government official should be filmed, not while they're off duty, of course. I think all of Congress should be filmed and everything while they're, you know, making law and stuff. Better training. That was number seven. Number eight, end for-profit policing. And obviously end the private prisons and the gross incentive to, you know, where they profit off of locking more people up, so they pass these stringent laws. That's why we have the highest prison population in the entire world. America makes up 5% of the world population, yet we have 25% of the world's prisoners. We have many times more prisoners than China, which has a population like, you know, four or five times at least our size. We have more prisoners than Russia, than Iran, percentage-wise, and in actual numbers. You know, we have drug laws that were broken. I mean, there was a report the other day where it was Richard Nixon in the 1970s who started the drug war, and they admitted that there wasn't a problem with drugs. They admitted that they wanted to start the drug war so they could, and this is on tape, you can Google this. This is fact. This is documented fact. They started the drug war so they could go after the hippies and the protesters and black civil rights leaders and stuff like that. Demilitarization of the police. I mean, I saw this clip the other day in Baton Rouge where they were having a protest, and I mean, it looked like and the riot police came in, and they looked like, you know, I mean, like something from, like, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, like, space army or something. I mean, like stormtroopers. Trying to think of that one movie where they fought those big ants and insects, but they look like battles. Yeah, Starship Troopers or something. I mean, and they are getting a lot of the money from the military and a lot of equipment from there. I mean, remember the Andy Griffith show? He actually had a show where Barney Fife asked him, Andy, why don't you carry a gun? And he said, well, because I want people to respect me in my community. That was a 1950s, you know, show, and people like Trump are saying, yeah, we want, you know, the good days back again, make America great again. Well, that is the ideal there, so don't have cops carry guns. I'm not saying I don't think they should, but I'm just saying, you know, that was the ideal, and in Britain, cops don't carry guns. And fair police union contracts. And so, you know, it's like their union, every single time a cop does something wrong, the union's like, oh, no, they didn't do nothing wrong. I mean, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have a union, and groups should have unions. The unions have done a lot of good things for lots of groups, but, I mean, they should not defend the most hideous things, or they should be fair, and you know, I mean, they don't have to defend every single thing, especially if it's on video camera where they're obviously doing something wrong. So I think I pretty much said what I wanted to say there. I am going to talk about a little bit about gun rights here a little bit. You know, in the Second Amendment, the right of the people to be armed shall not be infringed. You know, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. It doesn't mean that it's just the well-regulated militia. It means that people can form a well-regulated militia. What do you think well-regulated means? It doesn't mean that it's necessarily government oversight. It means that it's so advanced and complex that it's well-regulated. Like, I have a well-regulated hot rod in my garage, you know, as I've made it well-regulated. That's what it means. And so, you know, the Bill of Rights, there isn't one other Bill of Rights that is a right that the government has. You think the government needs to make a Second Amendment so the government has a right to carry arms? I don't think so. The Bill of Rights are freedoms that people have, starting with the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third, the Fourth, the Fifth, Sixth, Seventh, Eighth, Ninth, Tenth, and then the rest of the amendments to the Constitution. Those are rights that people have. It isn't a right for the government to carry arms. That's ridiculous. I mean, just think about the purpose of the Bill of Rights in the first place, and you would know that the Second Amendment wasn't just for the National Guard or hunting. And so we are all militia. Like when the Japanese general in World War II said that it would be a mistake for the Japanese military to invade the United States because there would be a gun pointing at them behind every blade of grass. Just the fear of that made them not want to attack the U.S. mainland. You know, besides Hawaii, of course, but they only did it by air. And so the right of the people, we the people, which is written in big letters in the Constitution, we the people, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and for the security of a free state, in a free state, not just a state, but a free state. And so if they can keep and bear arms, they can do that as individuals. But like the First Amendment says, we have a right to organize, and we have a right to organize in a way that is well-regulated. And so it's obvious that the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms. Now, even if it wasn't, that's not the main principle. I think natural rights are even more important. But I think the Bill of Rights is the closest thing there has been in history, and it does have confidence because, you know, we can vote in to add or remove amendments. You know, why would the government need to create an amendment for the Army to have a right to bear arms? I mean, that's just kind of common sense. Now, another interesting thing about all the crimes, and there's been a decline of crimes ever since like the 1990s, coincidentally, and I'm not saying there's a correlation, but ever since lead has been taken out of the fuel, I mean, in the 1980s, there was lead in the fuel, in the, you know, for cars. That's why you see unleaded now. And a lot of people think that has had a lot to do with the decline. Some people could say we're just not as aggressive as we once were. Maybe it's a fluoride in the water. Who knows? And that might be a double-edged sword, somewhat of a blessing. One thing to keep in mind, I don't think there should be any laws passed about this, but most crimes are committed by people 30 and younger, and then as age keeps going down, just like car crashes, the rates of violence keep going down. Now, I don't think you could pass a law because people are drafted until starting at the age of 18, so if you're going to be drafted potentially, and hopefully not, at the age of 18, then you should have every right that everyone else does, including the drink and stuff like that. But I think maybe people shouldn't be drafted at the age of 18. I mean, honestly, I was pretty stupid at the age of 18 myself. I wasn't, and everyone's different. Some people are going to be much more mature at 16. Some people are going to be not mature till they're like 22. And in some ways, I was very mature, but in other ways, I was very immature. You know, and I think especially in the military, they shouldn't just have a battalion of 18-year-olds. I mean, maybe a couple in each platoon or whatever. You know, you have to. Sometimes their physical capabilities might be great, but the real reason, and you think about the principle of the Bill of Rights, it's so we all have a level playing field, not equal results. An equal starting point, a fair game. That's what it's all about, is being fair, at least at the beginning. And what is the thing that's an equalizer? It's having a gun. If you're a 5 foot, 100-pound person, you know, if you have a gun, that makes you equal to a 350-pound, you know, person. You know, they're not going to mess with you. I'm not saying they should use it. They should always, everyone should make it their last option. And hopefully they will never, ever have to use it at all. But if that person has a 357 or whatever, and if someone's trying to, you know, kill them with one punch, they're not going to let it happen if they have a peacemaker. So I would say let's instigate peace. And one thing that Republicans, you know, we have a right to open carry and et cetera. Well, guess who did more damage to gun laws than anyone in history? It was Ronald Reagan. And he did it in double damage when he was a governor of California and when he was also the president. Who took away the right to open carry in California? It was Ronald freaking Reagan, the Gipper, the person that conservatives all look up to. He was the big gun rights. And because he was a conservative, he could pass that. Just like Obama's a Democrat, he could cause a bunch of wars. Well, Ronald Reagan was a so-called conservative, the governor of New York. He didn't like the Black Panthers marching around showing off their guns, and he passed open carry laws to get rid of open carry. And then when he became president, he was shot, and then they passed the Brady Bill. So you can thank Ronald Reagan for most of the gun laws. So, I mean, that's just a fact, and that's something they never bring up. I'm sick of the Republicans. I'm sick of the Democrats. You know, I'm probably going to be voting Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. I'm just sick of this, like, us against them. This is a show, and I want people to start thinking for themselves. I'm sick of looking at these just mindless, you know, robots in the comments section too, just repeating stuff. Think for yourself. Get your own brain and think for your freaking self. And so that's all I have to say here. And have a good night. And just think for yourself and spread out your own thoughts. Don't just regurgitate shit. Anyways, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good day. Have a good week. Instigate peace. Instigate thinking. Instigate your own thoughts. Gather all the information, then come to your own conclusion. Try to gather information even from sources you don't agree with. That's what thinking is. All right, well, take care. This has been a philosophy show. Tune in next week. Call in. Give us a show idea, etc., etc. Take care.